proclaiming the gospel to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Shalom and welcome to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. My name is Aaron Broughton. I'm your host for today, and I want to thank you for joining us on today's program. Well, truly, the Holocaust bears in mind the tragedies and really the horrors of the evil that we have in this world. However, we do have a responsibility, I believe, especially as Bible-believing Christians, to stand for truth, to stand for justice, and also stand for those who are innocent. And I just wanted to share with you, our listeners today, about a special event that we have here at IBJM coming up on March 20th of 2015. And this is our annual Holocaust Education Day. And that's held here at our IBJM headquarters, which is located in the greater Chattanooga, Tennessee area. I invite you to contact us here for more information. You can call us at 423-876-8150. You can also go online to our website, ibjm.org, and find more information about it there as well. Some of the topics that we're going to be discussing in that day, we have really a general audience, and we often have homeschool groups and others that come as well for educational purposes, and of course, we encourage that. Of course, due to the subject content with the Holocaust, it's not necessarily an easy subject to cover, especially when we have a variety of ages there. A couple of key things that we do cover in there. First of all, we start with a foundation, especially a biblical foundation, is who is the Jew? And talking biblically about the Jewish people, who they are, and God's plan for them. I think that is absolutely foundational in understanding the Jewish people as well as understanding the Holocaust and the role in that. And then we also have a couple sessions. In fact, we have several sessions that are taught by Mark Oshman. Mark, of course, is our Bible teacher that we have here on our program. And he'll be doing a several series on the history of Jewish persecution and also events leading up to the Holocaust. And then he will also deal with the aftermath of the Holocaust as well, especially in Jewish communities. And it's definitely a good reminder to understand the timeline of the events that happen. We'll also talk about the Holocaust in France. John Lawrence, who you also hear sometimes here on this program, will present a case study of the Holocaust in France and the effect that it has there. Of course, we'll be discussing other things as well. We're going to be discussing actually about seeking justice. How, was justice ever served from the Holocaust? And of course, it's hard to find justice when especially over 6 million Jewish people, let alone many, many others, were killed in the Nazi regime during the Holocaust. But we're going to discuss a little bit of what was done afterwards, and actually is still going on to some extent today, especially with the Simon Wiesenthal Center, and talking about Nazi hunting. And so it's a very important thing to understand that people did not forget, but yet they went after, especially seeking after these war criminals. And then we're also going to do something very new this year. Actually, we're going to have a couple breakout sessions for youth, for those especially middle school or high school age students, understanding standing up for what is right. And we're going to be doing kind of a case study more on their level and try to understand exactly what led up to the Holocaust and what even these young people, what anyone can do. What we should do is standing up for truth, standing up for what is right, standing up for justice, and of course, standing up for God. And we also will close the program as well by talking about a Christian's response to the Holocaust. Of course, it's one thing to know about the information about what actually did happen, the camps, the people, different personal stories in that, even about survivors. But also, we need to understand, what are we supposed to do with the Holocaust? And many times when we talk to Jewish people, the question is, where was God in the Holocaust? And that is a very difficult question to answer. Where was God in the midst of such tragedy? But I believe that there is answer from the Word of God and that we can take time to do that. And so we're going to be talking about during one of those sessions as well about the Christian's response to the Holocaust and what are we supposed to do about it, especially when others are facing persecution. These are definitely important topics that we have here during our Holocaust Education Day. Again, this will be held on March 20th of 2015. And the Holocaust Education Day will be held here at IBJM headquarters in the greater Chattanooga, Tennessee area. I invite you to contact us for more information about that. We help you to send you a reservation form for that. If you're nearby, we definitely encourage you to stop in. And this is something that no matter where we are in life, no matter our relationship, Jew or Gentile, we must never forget the Holocaust. We must always stand for truth. Always stand for justice. And in that, I believe we honor the Lord. With that in mind, let's now turn our attention to our good friend and Jewish believer, Brother Mark Oshman, with today's Bible lesson.
Thank you for listening to our radio program. We will continue our examination of the goodness and the severity of God as contained in the 11th chapter of Romans. Today's session will look at Paul issuing a warning of pride against pride to Gentile believers. Paul continued this line of argument about Gentiles boasting about being included into the body of Christ. He wrote in Romans 11, quote, "Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that they may be grafted in," unquote. Anyone possessing such a viewpoint might believe that God indeed was a respecter of persons, after all. From this perspective, God appeared to have removed his favor from unsaved Jews and transferred his favor to saved Gentiles. The apostle refuted this belief. He replied in Romans 11, "Well, because of their unbelief they were broken off, and thou standest by faith." The question here did not revolve around ethnic identity, whether being a Jew or being a Gentile. Instead, the issue dealt with belief, or the lack thereof. God did not put aside the Jewish nation because they were Jewish. He did so because of their unbelief. Likewise, God did not reach out to incorporate the Gentiles because of their paganism. He did so in response to the faith of those Gentiles who believed on Jesus Christ. Paul issued a warning to his Gentile readers, quote, "Be not high-minded, but fear," unquote. His injunction contained both a negative element, "be not high-minded," and a positive element, "fear." The Greek adjective hupsolophroneo, translated as high-minded, denoted a prideful attitude. Paul employed this term in 1 Timothy chapter 6, warning Christians against trusting in their wealth rather than relying upon God. Eupsilo, the first part of that compound word, came from an adjective that described an elevated geographical feature, such as a mountain or a hill. Matthew used eupsilo in the 17th chapter of his gospel, in connection with the lofty Mount of Transfiguration. The term eupsilo could also have a metaphorical application. It did so in Romans chapter 12 when Paul warned his readers to, quote, "mind not high things, eupsilo." That is to say, they were not to idolize wealthy or influential individuals. By warning Gentile believers against expressing high-mindedness, Paul wanted them to avoid the sin of presumption. Saved Gentiles should not interpret God's adoption of them into his family as an indication that he loved them more than he loved the Jewish people. Rather than giving way to spiritual pride, Christians, whether Jew or Gentile, Christians ought to thank God for bestowing his grace upon them. Going back to Romans chapter 11, Paul instructed his readers to fear. In the context of this statement, he implicitly meant that God should serve as the object of that fear. Some commentators might contend that the apostle's admonition in Romans 11 contradicted the spirit of what he wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1. In that context, he informed his protege that, quote, "God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power, and of love, and of a sound mind," unquote. Some commentators might claim that the fear that Paul referred to in Romans 11 had more in common with Old Testament depictions of God than with New Testament portrayals of God. According to the Mosaic Law, God revealed himself to the Jews as a deity that they needed to fear. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, he expressed the desire that the Jewish people, quote, "would fear me and keep my commandments always, so that it might be well with them and with their children forever," unquote. According to the 10th chapter of Deuteronomy, God commanded the Jews, quote, "What doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul," unquote. That injunction to fear God remained in force throughout the Jewish sojourn in the Promised Land. Joshua, in the 24th chapter of his book, exhorted his contemporaries, quote, "Now therefore fear the Lord, and serve him in sincerity and truth, and put away the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord," unquote. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, Samuel told the Jewish audience to, quote, "Only fear the Lord, and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you," unquote. When Solomon dedicated the temple, he prayed that God might, quote, "Hear thou from heaven thy dwelling place, and forgive, and render unto every man according to all his ways, whose hearts thou knowest, unquote. He did this in order that, quote, they may fear thee to walk in thy ways as long as they live in the land which thou gavest unto our fathers, unquote. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ preached about the need to fear God. In the 10th chapter of Matthew's Gospel, he instructed his disciples, quote, fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both body and soul in hell, of course. Of course, Jesus Christ was alluding to God the Father. Paul likewise exhorted his readers to fear God. In 2 Corinthians chapter 7, for example, he exhorted the congregation in Corinth, quote, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. The apostle also encouraged the Ephesian Christians to submit to one another in the fear of God, an admonition contained in Ephesians chapter 5. Peter, in the second chapter of his first epistle, warned his readers to fear God. The Bible frequently associated the fear of God with reverence for God. In Psalm 89, the author noted that, quote, God is greatly to be feared in the assembly of the saints, and to be had in reverence of all them that are about him, unquote. The author of Hebrews echoed that sentiment when, in the 12th chapter of his epistle, he instructed his readers, quote, let us have grace, whereby we may serve God acceptably, with reverence and godly fear, unquote. Such fear of God motivated people to obey God. When Abraham offered his son as a burnt offering, an incident recorded in Genesis chapter 22, God prevented him. God told him on that occasion, quote, now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me, unquote. The midwives of Israel, mentioned in the first chapter of Exodus, the midwives of Israel, moved by their fear of God, chose to disregard the orders of the Egyptian Pharaoh to kill all of the male Israelite newborns. The act of fearing God came with promises for those who complied with that directive. Again in 1 Samuel chapter 12, that prophet informed the assembled Israelites that, quote, if ye will fear the Lord and serve him and obey his voice and not rebel against the commandment of the Lord, then shall both ye and also the king that reigneth over you continue following the Lord your God, unquote. David, in the 34th Psalm, declared that, quote, the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them, unquote. In the same chapter, he added that, quote, there is no want to them that fear him, unquote. In Romans 11, Paul explained the reasons underlying his warning. Quote, if God spared not the natural branches, take heed, lest he also spare not thee, unquote. Phideomai, the Greek verb rendered as spare, Phideomai indicated abstinence from undertaking an action that possessed undesirable consequences. Paul utilized Phideomai in 2 Corinthians 12 with reference to his forbearing about boasting with regard to his spiritual attainments. When modified by a negative particle, the verb Phideomai denoted a refusal to refrain from undertaking an unpleasant or undesirable course of action. In Romans chapter 8, for example, Paul used such a construction with reference to God's refusal to spare Jesus Christ from going to the cross. In short, Paul warned his Gentile readers in Romans 11 that they should not take God for granted. Gentile Christians who adopt such an attitude might become spiritually unfruitful. If that event transpired, God might just lay them aside, as he did with the Jewish people. This does not mean that Gentile believers could forfeit their salvation. God will not cast them out for their disobedience, just as God did not cast out the Jewish nation for their rebellion. As Paul wrote in the 11th chapter of Romans, quote, the gift and calling of God are without repentance, unquote, a passage we will look at a later lesson. We've come to the end of another broadcast. Please return for future Bible studies about the goodness and the severity of God.
You've been listening to the Everlasting Nation Broadcast, a radio ministry of International Board of Jewish Missions. For more information, you can write us at P.O. Box 1386, Hickson, Tennessee, 37343, or call us at 423-876-8150, or you may also go online at ibjm.org. Until next time, May God bless and shalom.